Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, Alarmy. Before we get started, we wanted to make sure you heard the big news. The Alarmist has joined Patreon. Patreon subscribers will get access to our content ad-free, as well as our Aftermath post-interview discussion and final verdict. We'll also be putting out additional bonus episodes and other fun stuff. Here's a preview of our Little Alarms series, only available on Patreon.
I'm curious to know why you are watching Rocky V. Is that like
It was at work and we were, it was an inspiration. It's okay. Rocky IV.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And okay. So maybe I was exaggerating. It looks like it's 9 minutes. It's 9 minutes.
All right.
So it's
That's still 15. Very long.
Oh, yeah.
Still
really
long. But I guess we're all fools here. Chris is wrong about the Rocky. It was Rocky IV. I don't know what you're talking about. And Rebecca over-exaggerated the montage. So don't trust us for anything, guys.
You've learned that lesson. That's what you're. If you're here, you've already learned that lesson.
Yeah. That
The misinformation that was given in like a 30 second.
Yeah. Fast and loose with the facts. That's how we like it over here at The Alarmist.
Go to patreon.com/thealarmist and subscribe today. Now, on to our episode. Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we have producer Clayton Early.
It's me.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
Hi.
And we are doing a very special mailbag episode. Woo!
Too much mail. We had to do another one. We can't walk around in here.
I'm excited to get through it because, you know, it's piling up just like Santa. All of our mail is piling up. Yep. And we don't want to miss anyone.
Well, we're making sure that nobody accidentally sent their letters to Santa to the Alarmist, in which case we will forward them for you.
Right. Right. That's a good, that's our holiday desire. That's not a thing.
That's our holiday desire. That's our holiday desire.
If What's you remember, your holiday desire?
From last year, we did the episode about the Christmas scam. The guy
who's yes, of course.
So we're not trying to be that guy.
Right.
No.
We're trying to be Santa's helpers, but like real helpers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just scrolling through some of these emails and making sure. I just really hope there's not an emergency message somewhere in here.
Well,
because we'd be won't in know big until old we trouble.
Hit it. We won't know until we hit it, and then we'll be too late.
Yeah.
But before we do that,
these are our new, yeah, this is the budget. These are our new sound effects, guys. Do you like them?
Right. Guys, not enough people signed up for the Patreon. And so this is our what we're working with. Yes. And Rebecca has had to take over as the sound effects.
Sound effects. So,
just in case you couldn't tell from the sound effects, that was a cop pulling someone over.
That wasn't a real cop, if you guys are worried about that. Yeah, some people in their cars imaginary might be cop. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Oh, and I've also said that I hate people doing alarms. That's why it's not so natural. That's why it's not as good.
It's a nice alarm. It's like it's soft on the ears.
You know that that's not a real cop.
Right.
So you just got pulled over and the alarmy pulling you over and saying, listen up, right? Rate, review, and subscribe. Don't do it while you're driving. Pull over. And, it's the best way to really help us out this holiday season. Are you like, what am I going to get the alarmy for the holidays? Right. Mm-hmm. What am I going to get the alarmist? Well, you can give us a review. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's a great gift.
Yeah, that's all we want for Christmas is a review.
And why don't you get yourself a great gift by joining our Patreon?
I tell my deepest, darkest secrets on our Patreon episodes.
And I don't know if you noticed, but Chris's new look. You might see it on the photo that we're going to post on social media. You can join us, follow us on Instagram. And we are at The Alarmist Podcast on Instagram. And take a look at Chris's new look because he said he's doing a rebrand.
Mm. Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of mail come in and there has been this, image of myself that I'm kind of trying to shake off of, I guess, a not very proactive fact checker and somebody who sort of rests on his laurels fact wise. So I'm just trying to rebrand that image. And I get a lot of sometimes just general flack just for I don't know why.
So you're trying to dress your way out of this? Like it's just a costume change? You don't have to.
I would say I'm trying to address the issue.
Oh, nice.
Which is I got some blue blocker eyeglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And a little, it's like a little.
Like a newspaper
Irish
hat?
Irish newspaper boy? Hat. So I guess I'm kind of doing like, I don't know what you'd call this character, but I'm just still trying to figure it out.
Mm. You know, this is not a visual medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but mm-hmm. I do feel as an actor, so much is conveyed through wardrobe that it's going to come through in my performance.
You got to dress the part. And then maybe once you're dressed to the nines, you'll really start checking those facts in a masterful way.
Exactly. Like if I look smarter, maybe I'll become smarter. That's there you go. Basically what I'm going
hope.
For.
That's all of our hopes. Yeah. That's for the benefit of all of us. Okay. We have to jump into this mail. And I mean, this is I'm going to read this. This is again about daylight savings time. One of the most controversial episodes of this year. It was a blast and people keep writing in about it. This is from Buffy. And Buffy says, I started listening to the podcast due to the Office Ladies. I started at the beginning and I'm working my way through. But when I saw the Daylight Savings episode, I had to spring, jump forward. And I'm so glad I did. I learned so much from your expert, Father Time. And he has changed my attitude towards the time change in a positive way. I live in New Mexico and our next door neighbors, Arizona, don't change time,
which
has made me jealous every time I'm forced against my will to spring forward. But now that I know the history and the benefits, I happily sprung forward yesterday. Oh, so she did. So Buffy just listened to it the day before Daylight Savings.
Wow. Okay. So this is topical.
Yeah. I was alive and walking to school in the dark in 1974. I don't remember it. And I can see why. Well, it was dark. And I can see why that would be a real safety issue. We learned from the mistake and adjusted back to what works. So for the love of the children, why are we even thinking about trying it again? Nothing has changed. The sun is still shining the same way it has in 1974. Well, climate change, I wonder. But I 100% blame the media for not reminding us of our past mistake and filling in the younger generations of what happened the last time we tried this. If people remembered or knew the consequences of no time change or government, our government wouldn't be wasting time on this bill. Mm. History, people, learn from it. Love that line. Also, it's obvious Chris doesn't have children because he doesn't care about them walking city streets or country roads in the dark.
That's true.
He just doesn't want to change his clocks. But I do enjoy his fact checker persona. So no hate for his hatred of school children.
Wow.
Enjoy your all, Buffy. Hmm. Wow, Chris.
Now I'm rethinking if I even need a rebrand because she likes my fact checker persona. So.
It's true. We don't know. Like this, based on the information that we just read and the turn that you decided to take just moments earlier, it's been a roller coaster.
It has.
For you.
It really has. But I'm hanging in there and I'm going to stick with the glasses and the little hat for now.
Give it a few, you know, a few episodes at least.
See how it comes off. But I do like I like her phrase, history people learn from it. Feels very alarmist.
What's funny is that Chris is actually babysitting today, Buffy. So
I am.
He really does like kids. This is a very timely letter that we're reading. Yes.
Buffy said no hate for his hatred of school children. Chris, you're coming off as a children hater.
I think I made a sort of offhanded comment in that episode about not caring about the kids on their way to school. I do care about that stuff, but... I don't have any direct connection. Although some kids are my friends, I don't have any kids myself.
Now, I love what Buffy was saying about teaching us why we've made decisions, right? Why we've gotten to the place we are. I feel like that, and then we wouldn't be wasting time. It's really, you know. I just think it's well put. The government's wasting time on this new bill.
Well, that's the point of this show, right? We're trying to prevent these disasters from happening again. So that's why we talk about it. So we don't waste our time.
Yeah. Time is.
They say history repeats itself, not on Rebecca's watch.
Exactly. Not and on your watch either.
No.
Because you're here.
That's right.
We have to move on. But thank you, Buffy, for writing in.
Thank you, Buffy.
This one has the subject line, shakers. Hi, Alarmist crew. I just started listening to your podcast because it was mentioned on The Office Ladies, and I'm hooked. I'm a history teacher with hecka anxiety and alarmist tendencies, so this is my jam.
Nice.
I'm listening right now to season 1, episode 42, about the 2008 financial crisis, and he mentioned the shakers, and I lost my mind. I live and work at a former Shaker settlement, so I love all things Shaker. Thanks for mentioning this group that so few people know about.
I love the Shaker history. It's a fascinating one, and there's an incredible documentary, Ken Burns documentary. It's like one of the shorter ones about the Shakers, and it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. It's awesome.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the Shakers?
So do you know about, you don't know about who the Shakers are?
Well, I just know because you've told me, and I know that they also created a lot of furniture, great furniture.
Yeah, so they were this community, religious community that was sort of part of the utopian movement in the Northeast at the time. And they were, because of, I think they were sort of a reaction to the Industrial Revolution and the world changing so fast that people got like, frightened and reacted and went backwards. And so they were, I think they're called millennials or something, which
is like they believed that the sort of end of the world was coming, and that
as many did at the time.
Yeah, exactly. You had to be like pure in the eyes of God in their mind or whatever. But the religious stuff is sort of an aside. What it was this like just group of people who built these incredible houses in, I think, New England area, like, and they built incredible furniture. And they were like this community they all threw in together, and they sold things for their income, and they just built everything by hand, and they worked all day, and I don't know. It just seems like...
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not sure I'd want to be a part of it, but when you look at the furniture and you watch the old videos, it feels like there was some kind of good vibes, good times.
It sounds like they were productive, too. They were...
Super productive. Also, no sex.
Oh,
so that was maybe a drawback. They didn't allow sex, and they didn't
except
procreate.
For our babies.
They didn't procreate, and so that's
oh
why
they didn't.
They no, they're no longer. I guess
right. No, they just. I mean, the people started leaving after a while, but yeah, no, they had no way of sort of growing except sort of accepting new members and stuff.
And think of all the amazing furniture we would have if they were allowed to procreate.
Procreate,
still.
Yeah.
I wonder though if that's why they didn't. Not that groups always turn into cults, but I wonder if like that's because they weren't allowed to procreate. No one took advantage of.
Because there was
like
no
a
like
lot
right.
of cult culture yes. has a like lot a to sexual do with the leader kind yeah, of controlling yeah. the sexual vibes.
Sure.
Of the group.
Yeah. Well, this was started by a woman. I forget her name. It's called Mama Something.
That's probably why it went well.
And. Yeah, and she had this vision, and people followed her, and all the elders were in charge, and I think that it was 50-50 women or mostly women in charge.
Why don't we do an episode about
the Shakers,
the fall of the Shakers or something?
Sure,
or just the Shakers. I would love to learn more about them
and
why they're no longer such a prominent group.
And the reason they're called the Shakers is because in their religious worshiping, they would jive and shake as a way of sort of praising God. Like their church
gets more
would be...
and more interesting. I gotta say, I was gonna say because they're movers and shakers.
Wow.
Literally.
No, they would like shake in the church as a part of their religious sort of.
And you hear that like a shaker, like in front of like a shaker chair, right? Isn't that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like
I think that's...
That's where it comes from.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
How I knew about them. But I didn't know all the intricacies.
Yeah, you can still find them online. Shaker chairs, they're really expensive.
Had like some beautiful kind of like shaker chairs around my dining room table, actually.
Wow.
They're one of my favorite chairs in my house. So thank you.
Well, there are shaker chairs that are actual antiques, and there are shaker
of course.
Style chairs.
Yes, right? Mine are not actual antiques. That's just to clarify.
No. Yeah, those old ones are really
wow, Clayton.
They're like relics.
Didn't even know.
Well, thank you so much for writing in, and Clayton, we'll put this on the list of future episodes. Okay, this is from Laura. Laura says, hi, Rebecca and company. First of all, thank you so much for the podcast. I've been binging it for the last few months, especially since I'm odd in that way that I always listen to podcasts starting in the alphabetical order on my Spotify, and that you're naturally the first one.
There you go.
Well, great.
Okay.
I've learned so much from your podcast, especially in terms of checking my exits. So thank you for that.
That's good.
Oh. My ear, that is music to my ears. Put that on my tombstone.
Yeah.
Okay. I was hoping to suggest that you would do an episode on the sinking of MS Estonia in the Baltic Sea in 1994, which is one of the worst maritime disasters in the 20th century. I'm from the area, Finland, and for a lot of slightly older people, the disaster has risen to the notoriety of, quote, where were you when you heard about Estonia being a conversation topic? Huh. It is a sad one, but I will definitely listen to it. Unlike the Seawall ferry disaster episode that I can't bring myself to listen to because it's just so heartbreaking. Oh my God, I agree.
Ugh.
Anyway, thank you for the hilarious and touching podcast. Kind regards, Laura.
Oh, thanks, Laura.
Well, this sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems super tragic.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, 852 people lost their lives. And it was it was another one of these ferries. The ferry ones, I don't know why ferry disasters seem so tragic. It just maybe it's because, you know, a ferry is seemingly so
mundane,
so harmless and, sort of mundane.
Yeah, it's like transactional.
Ferry,
you're just commuting or whatever.
Yeah, it's sort of like a commute.
That is tough.
And so you can imagine the people there are just regular people.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Laura, for the recommendation. We're going to look into it.
Yeah, thanks, Laura.
Okay, this is a really interesting one. This is from Emily M. Okay. And it reads, "Hi, new listener here. And as I write this, I'm listening to the Ramstein air show disaster episode. This particular disaster brings to mind the 1994 Fairchild Air Force Base B-52 crash in which all four on board were killed, one of them being my uncle, Lieutenant Colonel Mark McGeehan.
Wow.
On June 24, 1994, my uncle, who was an Air Force Academy graduate and accomplished pilot, and three others were set to practice for an upcoming air show. But my uncle's co-pilot that day was Lieutenant Colonel Bud Holland, a pilot who was known to be reckless and to have little regard for safety measures. Jeez. Oh boy. Over the period of several years, Holland had been reprimanded several times by the Air Force, but was never grounded. So my Uncle Mark went to his superiors and asked for them to ground Holland. They refused, so my uncle then declared he would be the only person to fly with Holland to protect his air crew.
Oh my goodness.
No. On the day of the crash, they were practicing for an upcoming air show when Holland made a too narrow, steep, and tight turn at a very low altitude. Once the plane banked 90 degrees, it descended rapidly, clipped power lines, and crashed.
Wow.
All four on board were killed instantly, though there is evidence that my uncle had attempted to eject himself, but it was obviously too late. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
My aunt and her three young sons were watching the... My aunt and the other three sons were watching the air show practice from their nearby home and watched as my uncle's plane crashed and burned. Jeez. While I don't know much about the investigations that took place after, I do know that my uncle soon became regarded as a hero for putting his life on the line for the sake of his squadron members. He is spoken about reverently at the U.S. Air Force Academy and is seen as a symbol of courage and bravery. I was born the year after the crash, so unfortunately I never got to meet him, but I have always felt a special connection to him and want his story to be better known. Thank you for reading my email. I'm a huge fan and I love the podcast. I think my favorite episodes are the Emu War and the Charles and Camilla affair. Thanks, Emily M. from West Virginia, but unfortunately stuck in Texas.
Ouch.
Wow, Emily.
That is amazing. Thank you, Emily.
Yes.
Gosh, that is so tragic.
What a sad story. I can't even imagine the family watching from nearby.
No.
No way.
No. And also, shout out to Emily for providing. She literally gave us seven links to sources for the material.
Yeah. Right.
And as a fact checker, I appreciate it.
Is this something that we should put on the list?
I think we should put it on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to learn more about this particular crash.
Yeah.
Especially just because there's an alarming connection to it as well. And it looks like it's spoken about in the U.S. Air Force Academy.
Right.
So, yeah, let's put that on the board. And thank you so much, Emily, for sharing your family's story.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Okay, so this is coming to us from Costa Rica. The subject says, listening from Costa Rica. I started to listen to the podcast because of The Office Ladies, and I've been obsessed about it ever since. I listen from Costa Rica, and most of the disasters that you cover are new for me, or I had heard of about them on TV or movies, but had no idea how terrible and awful they were. I love how interesting you make history, which I hated back in high school. I know you talked about this a long time ago, but I wanted to refer to Jurassic Park and something that you did not talk about.
Okay. I hope they know that Jurassic Park's not real, but okay. I'm sure they do. I'm going to assume that they do.
Yeah, maybe they don't know. Maybe they know something we don't down in Costa Rica.
Okay. Why did the government of Costa Rica allow them to create dinosaurs in one of the islands of the country in the first place? Which does not exist, by the way. Costa Rica has a lot of biodiversity and cares for it a lot. Isla del Coco, for example, it's just like for research, and is not that easy for regular people to go there. So I don't see the government allowing anyone to create killing dinosaurs that would destroy our biodiversity. When I was a kid and first saw the movie, I was terrified that one dinosaur would come to my house one day and eat me.
Wow.
Thank you for your honesty.
Also, the fact that at the beginning of the movie, they show Newman talking to a man in San Jose, Costa Rica, and it's at the beach with like hens flying and everything, when San Jose is our capital in the middle of the country.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, no. Steven Spielberg, if you're making a movie located in a country, be accurate with the places.
Slam.
I love the episode where you talk about movies or TV series, and would love for you to talk about Steve Carell leaving The Office. That is one of the biggest disasters that ever happened on the TV series for me.
What a good idea.
Yeah.
But do you go ahead anyway, finish it.
I just started listening a couple of months ago, and I listened to the Great Emu War episode, and I'm so happy that I have a lot of episodes left to listen to. I don't want them to end. Please keep them coming. Period.
We don't have a name here?
No.
Just the country of Costa Rica.
Maybe this is Costa Rica.
No, Costa Rica's writing.
The country of Costa Rica.
Hold They're on, maybe concerned. I'll let me see if I can find a name, at least a first name.
But
you guys,
while you
talk.
Look for that, it's two thoughts. One is the Steve Carell leaving The Office is a great idea, but I would want to approach it as Michael Scott leaving Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah,
maybe who's to blame for that? Which is
Dunder Mifflin. Yeah.
And the other thought is, Costa Rica wasn't even up on the board.
I know.
How could they let this happen?
What a missed opportunity on our part. By the way, Abigail. It's Abigail is listening from Costa Rica. So thank you, Abigail.
That's a great
All of these are great points.
Mm-hmm. So, this is why we got to check the mail more often.
I know, geez.
That was a missed opportunity because it does say like a little like, you know, it just says in writing, San Jose, Costa Rica, which obviously good call about the water, the beach scene.
Yeah, the beachside location.
I mean, it's just like look it up in on a map and then.
Right. Anyone who's been there is like, this is not it. But like all of us who have not traveled to Costa Rica, are like that must be what it's like.
Yes.
The movies are real.
And honestly, the gall of the filmmakers to just be like, and nobody will notice. Like, even if they did know, you know, it's like, oh, we really want to put it on a beach. No one's going to care. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
True.
The other thing I'll say is in support of Abigail, was her name?
Yes.
Abigail, yes.
Yeah.
We went to Costa Rica and they are huge on biotourism.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They do have a very, I guess, I don't know much about what their mandates or regulations are, but biotourism is huge there where they don't like... Basically, what that means, or what I interpreted it as, was you're interacting with the land in a way where you're having fun. So there's like kayaking, but you don't like destroy anything. And there's like zip lining, but it's like built into the trees and into the landscape. They're not destroying anything, that kind of thing.
I also feel like it's curated for people who live in cities, and it's like, come be in out inside in the world, for a vacation. But I mean, it would make sense that they would set the movie in Costa Rica then if there is a market for biotourism, but I understand Abigail's point too. Like, why would the Costa Rican government allow for this kind of biotourism, to happen in their country?
Yeah,
if it's so important to them that they continue to, I mean, I don't know. Capitalism is an incredible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's funny. It's even like, would you even consider having a dinosaur theme park biotourism? I don't think so.
Maybe if it was going to attract so many,
it brings up
tourists.
The question whether the dinosaurs are like all part of real biodiversity country, which is like, I guess you can say because they're alive, they are part of that, but
it's not natural.
If you like, yeah, exactly. Like they manufactured it.
Well, so, everyone has a price too. You offer them enough money to just give them one of your islands. Sure, fine.
But I don't think Abigail would appreciate that. Her country would.
No.
You could make an argument.
Be protesting outside.
Yeah, she'd be.
It would probably be one of those deals where it's like, we are going to take this money and we're going to pour it into like public funding, schools, and new roads. But then you'd realize it was all corrupt and the money got like.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
We're already seeing this play out.
Yeah.
In our mind.
Well, yeah. That's fascinating. Thanks for that email.
Yeah, it really makes you think about the Jurassic Park in a very different way.
Yeah, completely.
I never thought I'd say that, but yes. Okay, so thank you, Abigail, for writing in and for admitting that you were scared of a dinosaur eating you as a child. I can totally see the connection there. I do love this suggestion for an episode, so we'll put that up on the board. Not on the board. I keep saying on the board, on our list. Before we start reading this next one, I want to say there's construction happening next door to our house where we're recording. Mm-hmm. And if you hear any, I don't know,
beeps,
radio, saws, hammers, just know.
Everything's okay. The house isn't falling down around us.
Yes. Yeah.
And thank you for your patience.
Oh, okay. How about Randy? This is a mail from Randy. Big fan from Oklahoma. Hello, big fan of the podcast, but I'm a new listener. I just listened to the Trail of Tears episode. I loved hearing about it. I'm from Oklahoma, and even in our Oklahoma history classes, it was somewhat glossed over. However, I do think that we do learn a lot more about Native American history in Oklahoma than people in a lot of other states because of their large presence here. Mm-hmm. The tribes still have a big influence in Oklahoma politics economy. I thought a good topic for you and your show would be an event described in a book The Killers of the Flower Moon.
Wow.
Oh, which is now a...
This was probably sent to us
prior,
before the movie.
Absolutely. It's a book written about a group of Native women in Oklahoma who were married to and killed by white men. This was during the oil boom in Oklahoma. It turns out that when the Natives were relocated to Oklahoma, unbeknownst to the American government and the Natives, they were sitting on black gold. Of course, the white men did not allow Native Americans to become wealthy on this discovery for long. There were many laws made after oil was discovered on Native land, including each Native person or family had to have a white person that managed their money and would give them an allowance for their own money. It's a fascinating book and a fascinating time in history. The tragedy outlined in the book is that white men married Native women to acquire their land and money and then slowly killed them with poison.
Oh, my goodness.
It is still unclear how many Native Americans were killed in this way to acquire their valuable land and wealth. It was not discovered. Their cause of death was not discovered until much later. I encourage you to read the book and look into this possible topic. They're actually making a really big movie about this right now, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. I think it'll be super good. Sincerely, your biggest Okie fan, Randy.
Is it out yet? It just came out.
It's out.
It's been out for a little while.
Yeah.
I kind of want to read the book, I think, before I watch the movie. Because at this point, I already missed the movie, you know.
Right.
I didn't watch the movie during the craze. So I did this with The Handmaid's Tale.
You waited?
Yeah, because I really wanted to read the book first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm already so late to the party.
Yeah,
I might as well be like another few months.
Right.
This kind of stuff really,
gets
me.
It's hard.
I know that's really tough. That's a tough. And then, it's already I'm not even sure I want to watch the movie. I think I want to read the book first too, because, I would hate to watch the movie and then discover if some things were left out or if some things were not accurate. Thanks, Randy.
Incredible that this isn't a bigger, topic in history classes when you talk about like U.S. history.
Right.
Because this feels like very big.
Right.
Oh, yeah, totally. But
of course,
sadly, if you look at all of United States history, there's a lot of stories like this.
Left out.
Yeah. Are left out. Yeah.
Yeah.
They bother people.
Yes. Okay, we're putting that on our list. I'm going to have to read the book, so we're going to need some time before that happens.
Yeah, give us some time, Randy. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to do one more, and this is from Sarah. Hey, Rebecca, Amanda, and Chris. Sorry, Clayton. Once again, buddy. Don't listen.
I'm not even here.
Go get a coffee or something.
I have two ideas for episodes that I don't think have been done yet. The first is the tragic death of Elliot Smith, a rising star who died in his apartment. But was it by his own hand, his girlfriend, or something, or someone else?
Mm.
Who? What is to blame for his death?
Right.
Okay, so let's put that
on our list.
Yeah,
big fan of his music.
Yeah, same.
The second is the tragic death of Azaria Chamberlain, a.k.a. the Dingo Ate My Baby reference from Seinfeld.
Mm.
This is a super interesting case as well. I feel like we've discussed this before, and it's still a mystery.
Right. Yes. Oh, man. Have we discussed this?
Or maybe we've talked about it separately. Okay, but let me just finish this. I'm really excited to see how you guys take on these tragedies and find out who's to blame. Cheers, Sarah Vorlacek. Oh, man, I'm saying this wrong. Vorlacek from Vancouver, Canada.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Sarah. I apologize for the mispronunciation of your last name. but these are great recommendations.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Elliot Smith, too. And I always thought that he stabbed himself with a knife.
I think the story, my understanding was that he died by suicide, that he took his own life.
Right.
But I, oh man, that his album, God, what was the album? Either Or, from like 97.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that made, that imprinted onto me as like a young.
Wait, which one? Which album?
It's called Either Or.
Either Or, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Either Or. That's an amazing song. Was the other one?
Do yourself a favor and listen to that.
Yeah. So the one from 97, the
Either Or, that album.
Yeah.
It just got some, like, if you are an Elliott Smith fan and you haven't listened to it a while, you listen to that and it's going to bring you right back.
Ooh. Top to bottom. It is so good.
Okay. I'm not super familiar with his music, so I'm going to check it out.
You'd like it, Rebecca. Like it. You're into
no, she
music.
Would not. Really? I'm telling you right now, she wouldn't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, as like, you like Courtney Love. You liked Hole.
I do love Courtney. I did love Hole.
It kind of has those vibes. It's angsty. It's moody.
But it's too minor key for her. Oh. It's too sad.
It is very minor key, sad. Which is why I love it.
Me too. Trust me, I've tried to play music like not even approaching Elliott Smith. Elliott Smith's like going too far. Like, I've tried even just somber music with Rebecca. She's like, get this crap off of
you. You have to understand. I grew up listening to Spanish music.
Sure.
And Spanish music is very upbeat. Even when we're talking about really sad things, they're like, let's make it a salsa. It's like the economy's in shambles. Let's turn that into a really fun merengue.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Which would be
actually
Juan Luis Guerra, the one he does about the hospital.
Yeah. El Niagara en Bicicleta.
Yeah.
That
one would be a good tragedy we should cover. Like, we should, the story of that, because isn't it about
it's about a hospital that's just not functioning, and people are trying to get help and no one can help them.
It's such a fun dance song. But yeah, exactly.
So you have to understand, I like my sadness with a pep.
Yeah.
Sadness with a pep.
Yeah. Not sadness with a
I wasn't hugely into Tori Amos
me, that was my girl.
I know. But,
driving around the suburbs of Colorado, rocking out to Twinkles in my Chevy Lumina.
I wish I knew you at that time. You were so angsty.
Oh my God. Oh. If I had a time machine.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I've always said the time machine, I would only go back 1 minute, but I might go back to see Clayton.
Yeah, just to see Clayton.
Yeah, you could sit in my car.
Yeah.
We'd listen to Ani DiFranco and Tori Amos and Elliott Smith and smoke cigarettes.
Oh God, the best.
Like bad kids.
I'd have to go back in time to smoke my first cigarette. Okay, well, Dingo Ate My Baby. I think the reason we've been nervous about covering this is because it's still a mystery, but you know, we can look into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a bit harder to cover ones that where, and this applies to Elliott Smith too, where it's not, there's not a,
right.
I don't know what you'd call it, like a consensus on what
we could. I guess we could we could decide which angle, like maybe like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
Because we still want to learn about it.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Australia. This is an international recommendation. We love international recommendations, by the way. If you have any more of those, send them over. You know, because there's a lot of stuff that we just don't know about here in America. We got to learn. Okay, so that's it. I said I was only going to read one more. We still have more mail. We'll have to insert another mailbag episode in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, keep the mail coming. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. Join our Patreon. We have a lot more content. I know some of you are either up to date or are running out of content. Well, this is a perfect option for you.
Mm-hmm. We got two a week for you.
Yes. And there will be the link to our Patreon page right on the notes for this episode. So you don't even have to search for it. It's that easy. Well, thanks again. We hope everyone is happy, having a great holiday season. And staying chill.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Or warm.
Right.
Right.
Chill in your warm, cozy robe by the fire. Yeah.
And stay tuned, because next week we will be discussing. What are we discussing, Clayton?
Next week, we are going
to... It's a good one.
Yes, this is the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
So, Abigail, in Costa Rica, we got another movie one coming
That's
for
right.
you.
That's right. It's that time. Christmas time is here. That's the song at the beginning, if you don't know.
I know. It's so good. All right. See you next time.
The Alarmist. Powered by Acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.